that you may show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his glorious light. And brethren, you need to understand that. This world is in darkness, utter darkness. And that we'll also see the darkness is a type of sin. And he's called us into his glorious, marvelous light. Now notice verse 10. Which in time past were not a people. He's writing to Gentiles here. But now are the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And that's all a part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Abstaining from the fleshly lusts. Overcoming the battle within. Overcoming the battle with Satan the devil. Overcoming the battle with the world. That is all absolutely a part of it. Now let's come to John, the 12th chapter, and let's see something very important here. And let's keep this in mind. He's called us into his glorious and marvelous light. He has called us out of darkness. And this Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures a time that we are to be walking in God's way, that is, in the light. Now here, John the 12th chapter and verse 35, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. That is Christ talking. He was with them just a little while physically. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. Now here's something very important. If you are not walking in the light of Christ, you will walk in darkness. And what is that? The scripture there says, darkness covers the earth. And the people walk in darkness and live in darkness. But Christ, the light, arose and shined. Now notice, continuing here, for he who walks in darkness knows not where he's going. That's what happens. If you're out in the world, you don't know why you're here. You don't know who God is. You don't know what life is all about. You don't have a clue where you're going. And if you get wrapped up in some religion in this world, they may bring you a little light, but you're still walking in darkness. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. And so, brethren, let's follow this theme a little more closely here. Let's understand what we are to do. Now, let's come to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 4 and verse 19. We're to walk in this light. We're to come out of the darkness. And that's what this Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. And how we are to do it. And the way we are to do it. Casting the leaven out. Casting the darkness out. Casting the sin out. Getting rid of these things out of our lives. Proverbs the 4th chapter. Let's pick it up here. Proverbs 4 and verse 19. Well, let's go back to verse 18. Here's the contrast. And the Proverbs are marvelous because they show the contrast, one and then the other. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Now this is a prophecy of us, shining more and more unto that perfect day. And what is the perfect day? The perfect day has got to be the resurrection, no doubt about it. Now let's notice the contrast. The way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Just like Jesus said, if you walk in the darkness, you don't know where you're going. And brethren, God has called us into his marvelous light. Now let's see what happened to the children of Israel when they got rid of God's way. Let's come back to the book of 1 Kings. As we're going back here to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16, let's understand something very important. When God split the kingdom between the northern 10 tribes and the tribe of Judah and Levi and Benjamin, when he split them off, Jeroboam was made king. God gave him the promise and said to Jeroboam, if you walk in my ways, and if you will do what I ask you to do, then I will give you a dynasty, just like I promised to David. But he wouldn't do it. And what did he do? He set up the two calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel. He changed the feast from the seventh month to the eighth month for the Feast of Tabernacles. And he set up idols and built an altar, and he himself was high priest. And so Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was noted as one of the most evil. As a matter of fact, he is the epitome of the evil of the kings of the house of Israel. And Manasseh is the epitome of the evil of the kings of the house of Judah. Now here in 1 Kings 16, verses 29, let's pick it up here in verse 29. Let's see something here that's very important. And what happens when people go back into the world and walk in darkness and walk in the way of sin? Verse 29, 1 Kings 16. And in the 38th year of Asa king of Judah began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So this was really a tremendous thing that happened here. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So here we find even Ahab was worse than Jeroboam. The only reason that he ended up not being worse than Jeroboam was that Ahab did repent. But notice what's said here. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now you see what happens when a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And because there is profit in sin, because there is pleasure in sin, and because God doesn't come and immediately cut you off, then people begin to think, well then, hey, they're all right. But the day of reckoning comes. But you see, for us, every year we're to examine ourselves before the Passover, as we have done. And every year we are to get sin out of our lives, which we do. Every year we are to look again to the sacrifice of Christ and the grace of God and the blood of Christ to lead us through the power of His Holy Spirit to walk in righteousness. Now, let's come to Proverbs, the second chapter. Proverbs 2, and this becomes quite an important thing for us to understand, of God will show us the way to discern between right and wrong and good and evil and light and darkness. Proverbs, the second chapter. Now here in Proverbs 2 and verse 10, beginning in verse 10, Proverbs 2, when wisdom enters into your heart, and I'll tell you something, brethren, wisdom cannot enter into your heart unless you become unleavened in Christ. When there's vanity and foolishness and self-serving, those are all a lack of wisdom. The true wisdom comes from Christ, having the mind of Christ, having the spirit of Christ. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding will keep you. Now here's what it will do: to deliver you from the way of evil of the evil man and from the man who speaks froward things, or that is perverse things. And these men are the ones who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So it is to keep you from those things. And the true wisdom comes from Christ. Now let's come to the Psalm 81. Let's see how important this is, that we come out of darkness and we walk in light. Psalm 81. And let's pick it up here, beginning in verse 8. Psalm 81 and verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you. Will you listen to God? Will you hear his voice? O Israel, if you will hearken unto me, there shall be no strange god be in you, neither shall you worship any strange god. That's the ultimate of little leaven leavens the whole lump. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Opened your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, to walk in the counsel, in their own counsels. And that's what happens, you see. When there's so much leaven that comes in, and there's nothing but sin, and there's nothing but evil, and there's nothing but darkness, then God gives them over to all of their own lusts. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves to him, but their time should have endured forever, and he should feed them also with the finest of wheat and so forth. In other words, God would have blessed them. All of the difficulties and problems that Israel had was because they wanted to go their way and not walk in the way of light of God. Now, let's come to John, the third chapter, and let's see something concerning the light. Let's see what Jesus said, and let's see how it is that human beings respond. Let's see what they like. Let's see what they love, and how difficult it is for those who are in the world to become unleavened and to follow God. Now, let's begin in verse 16, because this is the whole statement of God, his whole mission purpose, as it were. For God so loved the world, and God loved you, and God does love you and still loves you and wants to love you more and wants to love you even more perfectly and wants to love you even personally when you are resurrected to be in the kingdom of God. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so this is all a part of God's plan, and the way that you believe in him, and that is you believe with all your heart and you commit with all your soul and all your mind and all your being. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And ultimately God is going to do this. God is going to save the world. And the rest of the holy days show how exactly God is going to do that, especially beginning with trumpets on down through atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day. Now, verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned. Now, you need to understand that. We'll cover that a little bit later. But you are not condemned if you are in Christ. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and Christ said, I am the light of the world. If you walk in the light, darkness shall not overtake you. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone that does evil, or that is, practices evil, hates the light. That's why there's so much hatred in the world today. That's why people believe so many lies. And we are living in a world of wonder fantasy. In everything that is in the world, the only reality is that they're living a lie. They don't understand the reality that's going to hit them when finally they come to the end of the bubble and the lie bursts. And there they are. Now notice, verse 20. But everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes he to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that does the truth, or the one who is practicing the truth, is the way it should read, comes to the light. And that's why God has these annual feasts, that every year we renew, we come back to God, we keep our course steady, we keep it straight, we keep heading toward God and the kingdom of God, and overcoming year by year, and month by month, and day by day, coming to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, and of course also to repent, that they were wrought in God. In other words, Christ in them was activating and motivating them to live the way that they live. But notice, you are coming to, you are walking in the light. Now there's a strange phenomena that happens, which is this. Once you are in the light, if you turn around and turn your back on the light, you will still seem like you're in the light, though you're walking away from it, because the light is shining. And then you walk a little further and a little further, and it gets a little darker, but you get accustomed to that. And you walk a little further and still gets a little darker yet, and you get accustomed to that. And pretty soon, you're back in the darkness of the blackness of total sin. So that's why we have to keep coming to the light. Keep coming to Christ. Keep knowing and understanding his ways. Now let's go to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. So we can understand that light and truth go together. The light of God and the truth of God go together. That's why Jesus Christ said, I am the way, that's the way we are to live, the truth, no other truth, and the life. Now we'll see part of this back here in Psalm 43. Psalm 43, and let's pick it up here in verse 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Now, brethren, let's understand that spiritually. This is also a prophecy of how we are to live, how we are to walk, how we are to be led. Now, where is the holy hill? He's talking about Mount Zion at the resurrection. And unto your tabernacle, and that's where the throne of God is. The tabernacle of God dwells with men, as we find there in Revelation, the 21st chapter, in the completing of God's plan. Then I will go unto the altar of my God, unto God my exceeding joy, so that you can have joy and happiness in your Christian living. Yea, upon the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? So what David was doing was coming to God to get out of a depression. He was depressed. His soul was cast down. Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. And that's what this whole Feast of Unleavened Bread is for, to have hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, for he is the health of my countenance and my God. Not only for the health of your physical body, but the health of your spiritual well-being. Now let's come back to the epistle of 1 John. Clear back into the New Testament. Remember, it says, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. Now let's come back here to 1 John, the first chapter, and let's see something very important. 1 John, the first chapter. Now, if you don't have our series on 1 John, you can write in for it, and we'll send you the book of the seven general epistles, and that will help you go through James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. There are a lot of lessons for us here. But let's pick it up here in verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and that in him is no darkness at all. And James says there is not even any variance or shadow of turning. Now you need to understand that concerning the word of God. If anyone says that God did not mean what he said, he is a liar. Let's go on. If we say that we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. And do there comes from the Greek poieo, which means to practice. So if you're in darkness, you can't be doing the truth, because the truth is light, as we just saw. Send out your light and your truth. So there are many that way who think they're doing God's way, but they're not. So if you're walking in darkness, you can't be doing the truth, because the darkness has blinded your eyes to the truth and you don't know it. And the greatest darkness that you can get into is have all a little bit of truth mixed in with a whole lot of error. Now, notice, verse 7, if we walk in the light, notice condition, if, as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You are sinless before God. Did you know that? And that's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. Now, I'm going to bring a sermon for the Sabbath during unleavened bread, being unleavened in Christ, and we'll see how that is. Verse 7, if we say we have no sin, we have nothing to repent of, or that we don't have a sinful nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So again, two strikes against the truth, walking in darkness and saying you have no sin. Now notice verse 9, if we confess our sins, that's the key to becoming sinless. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now let's notice how we are to walk. Let's come over here to the second chapter of 1 John in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And part of the commandment was inspired through the Apostle Paul, therefore let us keep the feast. So we are, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's part of his commandment, right? And if we do know that we know him, if we're keeping his commandments, that's how we know. Anyone who's not keeping the commandments of God does not know God. It doesn't matter what they profess. It doesn't matter what they write. It doesn't matter what they think. Because it says right here, verse 4, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. And that's the whole thing. This Feast of Unleavened Bread is to perfect us even a little more from last year, and next year, and next year, and the next year beyond that. To perfect us in the love of God, and hereby we know that we are in him. God doesn't want us to be in doubt. He doesn't want us to believe in something we're not sure of. We know because we keep his commandments. Now notice, the result of this is verse 6, how we ought to walk. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked, and Christ walked in the light. And he is the light. That's how we are to live our lives. Now let's come over here to 2 John, verse 6. And it talks about, again, walking. Because you see, the Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures the Exodus for the children of Israel. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread for us pictures the exodus out of the world. And this tells us how we are to be out of the world. 2 John, verse 6. There's no chapters here. 2 John 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, This is the deceiver and an antichrist. And these deceivers carry the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of old time and also of modern time. Those ministers who say that Christ did it for you all, you don't have to do anything. Look, if you're in the liberty of Christ, you're in the liberty of not having sin imputed to you. You're not at liberty to not keep his commandments. So you see the difference there? Christ delivered us from sin. He didn't deliver us from commandment keeping. He delivered us from darkness to walk in his light. Now continuing on. There are many deceivers who entered into the world and confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And brethren, that is true. You have to be careful how you're building on that foundation of Christ, that you receive the full reward. Here, hold your place here, and let's go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And this is very important for you to understand. What are you building on that foundation of Jesus Christ, and how are you building it? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Are you coming to the light? Are you walking as he walked? Or are you becoming lackadaisical as we live in this age of the Laodiceans who are lukewarm and have need of nothing? And they are not watching how that they are building on the foundation of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace which God, which is given, a grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, the jewels of true spiritual righteousness, if you could put it that way. And also in understanding that Christ told the Laodiceans to buy of him gold tried in the fire. And that's why we're going through all the trials that we are going through now. Because the fire is not the tribulation alone. The fire represents the trials that you go through. We'll see that here in just a minute. So are you building the wood, the gold, silver, precious stone, the precious jewels of true righteousness? Or are you building wood, hay, and stubble? Now, wood, hay, and stubble is very interesting. Wood can have a veneer and look really, really nice. And a matter of fact, even iron wood is very hard to burn. But it's still wood and still can be burned up. Now then, hay is fodder that you feed cattle. So there is still some little value in it, but not very much. Stubble is that which is left over after the hay and after the grain has been harvested. And stubble is that which can blow up and explode almost on its own, just like some of these grain storage centers have done. They get too much stubble in there, and it builds up, and then it gets real hot, and boom, it explodes of itself, and there's a great fire, and everything is burned up. Now notice here, verse 13, everyone's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and that is the day of the trial, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials which have come upon you. That's why when we read back there that the Lord delivers us from all of our fears and saves us out of all of our troubles, it's important to understand God will bring us through that. And if you come through that, delivered from all of them, then you have the building there of gold and silver and precious stone. But if you give up, And if you waver and you fall and you go back into the world, or you sin greatly, then you're building wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire is going to try it. Now, verse 15, every man's work shall be burned. If his work is burned, and he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you're going to lose what you have wrought. That's why back here in John, 2 John 8, it says, let's go back there now. That's why he says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought or have worked already, but that you may receive a full reward. Because if it's burned up, you have no reward. So you need to understand that. And that's how so important that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is, brethren. And we need to resolve, come to God, repent of our sins, examine ourselves, see where we're falling short, ask God to help us, ask God to uplift us, ask God to help us walk in His light and walk in His truth and walk in His commandments and walk in love and do the things that are pleasing to Him. That's so important. Okay, let's continue on here. Let's come to Psalm 26. Again, that's why David experienced so many trials. Come back here to Psalm 26. He experienced these trials. He wrote of them to give us encouragement, to help us realize that God will help us, to help us understand that God will be there. Psalm 26. And let's begin in verse 1. Judge me, O God, for I have walked in my integrity. Now, we're going to show that this judging, God is constantly judging us now. Judgment is upon the house of God now. God is judging us all the time, you see. I've walked in my integrity, which we will see is really the integrity of the commandments of God in just a minute. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart. Now that's why we are to prove ourselves whether we're in Christ or not. That's why we are to examine ourselves before the Passover. And let God do the proving, let God do the testing. And let it be that God finds us in a repentant attitude and a humble mind and a willing heart or a tender heart as we have gone through with the heart-mind connection to have the heart of David and the mind of Christ. Try my reins and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. That's how we are to walk, brethren. Isn't that something? Walk in the light. Walk in the truth. Walk away from darkness. Let God give us the wisdom to open our minds, to open our hearts so that we can see that we don't walk with deceivers and vain men and false doctrine and self-serving and all of the leaven of the flesh. So that's why we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's very important that we understand that. Now, let's come back here to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and we will see something very important, how we are to walk. Now, this gives an added dimension to our walking. Because we don't do it by ourselves, we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the way that we overcome is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's come back here to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Now here in Galatians, the 5th chapter, let's begin in verse 16. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's how you overcome. You walk in God's love. You walk in His commandments. You walk in His truth. And if you're doing that, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what happens if you don't? Let's go back to verse 15. And this is what we've seen happen here recently in the churches. It's been going on. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. And so also during this Feast of Unleavened Bread, there needs to be forgiveness. There needs to be understanding. There needs to be reconciliation. Because all of those things can also be part of the sin that you have. Remember, Jesus said that if you have anything against your brother, even as he was saying there in Matthew, the fifth chapter. He didn't even want them to put the gift on the altar. He said, you leave your gift and you go your way and be reconciled to your brother first. Now, if there are any things that you need to do with that, then be reconciled to your brother. Now, sometimes there are those who just absolutely throw the gauntlet down and run off on their own, and there's virtually little that you can do to be reconciled to them. But pray for them anyway. Now, over here, he repeats it over here in verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so that's how we are to walk. How we are to live. Now notice between these verses, we have quite a bit having to do concerning human nature, comparing the way of human nature and walking in the Spirit with the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery and fornication, uncleanness and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Sound like I'm giving a review of the television, right? Yes, because that's the way it is. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we are to put the leaven out. That's why we are to put the sin out. That's why we are to ask God to help us overcome the vanity, overcome the self, overcome all of the lust of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, if we are living by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you see, fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering and goodness and faith, and gentleness, and meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, when you are doing these things, there's no law that you are breaking. As a matter of fact, you are fulfilling. And you are doing what God wants you to. Now let's come over here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, just a few pages over. Ephesians 5. And this also tells us how we are to walk. What we are to follow. Verse 1, Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Just like the little children that said, Jesus said, allow the little children to come to me. And he said, I tell you, unless you become like a little child, as such as one of these, you shall in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. So likewise, Paul confirms that. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, willing, humble, serving, loving, kind, all the fruits of the Spirit of God, as dear children, that you truly love God with all your heart, and all your mind, and all your soul, and all your being, and ask God to help you do that. Ask God to give you His Spirit that you may walk that way. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has loved us. And that's why we had the words of the new covenant. And when we go through the Passover, on the Passover night, we read the very words of Jesus Christ. Love each other as I have loved you. And has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And so all of our sins have been removed. Count all of your sins as leaven, and Christ has removed them. And now you have been renewed by taking the Passover. And now you are coming to God in this feast of unleavened bread so that you can put sin out. Just like you put leaven out of your homes, now you can put sin out. And this is something that we need to work on. Now notice what he says, verse 2. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, which we saw, are all the works of the flesh. Let it not be once named among you as become saints. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, Paul was very straightforward there with it, wasn't he? Yes. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because there were those coming around with their vain words and twisting and turning the scriptures. And as we saw in the case in 1 Corinthians, where this man was having incest with his stepmother. And their glorying was not good. And leaven was leavening the whole church. And the church was going down in an inglorious blaze of destruction. And I do believe personally that the church at Corinth was one of the very first churches to leave when Paul died. I think that they went into idolatry and all of those things almost immediately. It was all that Paul could do. He said, examine yourselves whether you are in Christ or not. Know you not that Christ is in you, else you be reprobates? And so those were pretty stern words. Now he's saying here, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So here again we see, you are either the children of obedience or disobedience. If you're obedient, you're walking in the light. If you're disobedient, you're walking in the darkness. And the darkness has blinded your eyes, and you don't know where you're going. Verse 7, be you not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that's what Jesus said. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That is the true unleavenedness in Christ. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It says reprove here, but it means to expose them. To show sin for what sin is. And during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's what Christ wants us to do. To show what sin is, to show what righteousness is, to show what truth is, to show what error is, and to realize that there is a firm dividing line between them. And we are not to mix them. We are not to bring them together. We are not to do these things in that way. Here, come back to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's go back there and see what Christ said. As we come back to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, this is not what Christ said. I was mistaken there, but this is what Paul wrote as inspired by Christ. Now he says, here, verse 20, but this I say, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. He's showing clearly, you can't mix the religions of this world with the way of God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. And that then becomes the ultimate of walking in darkness. Because Satan is the Lord of darkness. Now notice verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And that has a direct reference to the Passover. And that's why those who have gone off and have allowed the leaven in their lives and in their churches and in their organizations to come to such a great height that they've gone back into total darkness. See, that's what happens. And notice, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Can we do these things and get away with them? No. Now let's come back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, where he says, expose them. And Paul did. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, For whatsoever does make manifest is a light. Wherefore he says, awake, O you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And so let's do that for this feast of unleavened bread. Let's let Christ wake us up. Let's have Christ intervene in our lives with his Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to help us to walk in his way, to walk in his truth, and rededicate ourselves to God in a greater way, asking for his Spirit, asking for his truth, asking for his love and his mercy and his grace and his kindness to lead us and help us to get all leaven out of our lives. So therefore, brethren, let's keep this feast not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And then we will be truly walking in the light and in God's way.